We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, look at that. Our engineer has actually shown up.
Uh-oh.
I mean, how many hours do we have to sound like we're underwater before Ed graces us with his presence?
You know, my Ed mad now.
Oh, listen, I'm just trying to super serve the texters.
Ed ain't no little dude. He works out and he has a mustache. Guy with a mustache more intimidating.
5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha happy hour. George Sedano? Sedando? We were saying, Solana was saying during the break, he can't hear Sedano without hearing. Who was the call? Let me go. Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, George Sedano from ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles, used to host this shift. Who was that caller that used to call you Sedando?
Oh, man, I can remember his voice, but I don't remember his name right now.
Oh, man.
He used to call me all the time. He'd be like, Sedando, what up?
Yeah, it was, you can't, like Solana was telling us, right? Can't think of Sedano.
He was a Lakers fan, right? Or a Knicks fan. I think a Knicks fan.
No, it wasn't a Knicks fan because you're thinking of Dre. That wasn't
Knicks fans up in West Palm. This was a different dude. Sedando.
Yeah, I remember him.
I used to love that. George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. Were you in Toronto for Game 2?
I was.
Yeah, what was the vibe there? That place looks insane. Obviously, they shut them up with that 20-0 run or whatever it was at the start of the third quarter. But what was that vibe there?
I did the pregame. We did like a separate digital pregame that was on the ESPN app and Twitter and YouTube, on ESPN's Twitter and YouTube. And we did it from Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God.
It was just ridiculous. Like, it's insane. Like, those people, they were camping out since, like, I don't know, like, middle of the night and just kind of sat there with, like, lawn chairs to be part of it. Like, it was crazy. So those people were hopped up on all sorts of stuff, caffeine, alcohol, you name it, and they were having a blast. So it was just an insane time out there. You couldn't even hear. We had to use those headsets that you guys, you've seen them, like the play-by-play people use them, and we use them in radio, like when you're on remote, right? Like, if you're doing a broadcast, you have the headset with the microphone, like, on a, like a stick. We had to use those because I guess in game one, they tried to do it with just normal IFB, like in your ear, like the little thing that's wired into your ear with a regular stick mic, and they couldn't hear each other. So they had to do it with the over the, you know, ears, like headphones, so that you could hear, because it's so crazy out there.
And I know there's a bunch of big, you know, big stadiums, loud stadiums, arenas in the NBA, George, but is that Jurassic Park? Is that like the best outside of the stadium fan experience in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I've done all of them at this point for the most part, you know, outside of a few, and they definitely get the most, like, turned up. Like, I don't think there's any question. And it's every game, right? It's not just because it's the playoffs or it's because it's the NBA Finals. They do this stuff in the regular season out there. So it's become like an event, right? If you can't get tickets to the game, you can just go to Jurassic Park and watch the stuff from out there. And there's a real event going on each and every night. So, yeah, I would say that it's for sure the biggest in the league. I was told from some Warriors people while I was there for game two that they're going to try to create something outside their new arena in San Francisco at the Chase Center, which is a perfect location because it's like right off the wharf and right near what the old Candlestick Park, what is AT&T Park, I guess now, where the Giants play. So it's right off the water, and they're going to create a thing there where people, if you can't get tickets to the game, you can just kind of watch from outside there and kind of create their own version of it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Heat, the Heat did that, used to do that during like the finals and stuff like that. But, you know, Biscayne Boulevard and, you know, Miami's arena, when they're good, if and when they're good again, they should do that on the regular. Because I think Miami people are always in for a party, right? Like, if you can't get into the game, like, I could absolutely see people just hanging out.
Yeah, The problem is,
well, Bayside's right there though.
But I mean, you could do stuff like that, but you have to be better than they are. Like, you know, again,
yeah. You can't be 38-44 or whatever.
No one's coming out there for James Johnson as much as we like him.
You got to wait until they've got a big name star on the team, and they don't have that.
Maybe J.R. Smith if we end
come
up.
J.R. can be part of the party outside and shirtless because we know he likes that.
That's a party. When you see shirtless J.R. Smith, you know you're at a party, right?
Yeah.
George Sedano is with us from ESPN. So we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. What do you think? Game one, was that Toronto's best gasp? They came out and they took the victory, and now Golden State, we know KD is going to be out for game three. I guess Klay Thompson is still questionable. But is it your best guess that Golden State now is going to run the table, or you think that Toronto, that this is a real series?
Oh, I think it's a real series. I thought it was going to be a real series even if KD played, because KD wasn't going to come back at 100%. I mean, even 70% or 80% KD is pretty awesome, right? But yeah, I thought it was a real series the whole way, mostly because if you look at the Warriors, they haven't seen a team this good defensively. The teams that they faced in the playoffs were the Clippers, who were the 19th best defense in the league this year, the Rockets, who were the 18th best defense, and the Blazers, who were the 16th best defense. The Raptors were the 5th best defense during the regular season. And by the way, Kawhi missed 22 games for load management or whatever, so they could have been better. And Milwaukee was number one in the NBA. So either team that would have come out of the East, I thought, was going to give them trouble just because they had length, they were excellent on defense, and they had just kind of – Toronto particularly has like KG, wily veteran type guys, right, who aren't going to be afraid of the moment. So, yeah, I think this is a real series. I think there's a possibility that this thing comes back to Toronto 2-2.
And, George, you brought up percentages, too, talking about rushing KD back or, you know, waiting it out with Klay down now. Do they say, hey, KD, we'll take you at 75, we'll take you at 80 because we need some more power, we need some more offense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think once he gets cleared and he practices, KD, that is, I think that they'll throw him out there. But the thing with that injury, as far as I've been told, is that he's clearly walking okay. The problem is, you know, trying to run and then stop on a dime and cut and things like that, that you need to go through a practice to at least try to simulate that to see if there's any issues with doing those kind of motions. If he passes that test through a practice, then they're willing to throw him out there in a game. But I think that you have to be cautious, right? Not only for, you know, his own sake, but, you know, he needs to be cautious for his own sake. Like, the team obviously is going to do what's in the best interest of what's in his best interest, because they want to keep him, right? and then he's got to make sure he does the same thing, because he doesn't want, if he does leave, to be damaged goods somewhere else.
And, George, what's up with all the injuries now? Because the trainers, is it fatigue? They've been in the finals 5 years in a row, because you have Klay with the hammy, KD with the calf, Boogie with the quad. He just came back, and now Looney's out for the rest of the series. Is there anything to all these injuries right now?
Well, I think with Boogie, you know, Cousins had the injury that he was coming off of, right? And I think sometimes what happens is, again, this is just how it was explained to me, that you kind of put stress on other areas of your body, right? So he was dealing with the Achilles, and then you're putting extra stress on your quad, right? Because you're compensating, just mentally, you're doing some of that. And, you know, it's all interconnected, right? So yeah. I think that becomes part of the challenge, right? The biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. And so there's some of that. With Klay, I think Klay was just a fluke thing. Last year, remember, he had the bad ankle sprain, and he played through that. This season, when you see the way he landed, of course he was going to hurt his hamstring the way he landed. Like, he landed so awkwardly that right away you could tell that left leg, something was going to be wrong with it. It could have been worse. I thought it was a knee.
Was he trying to draw a foul and hurt himself doing it?
That's what I thought happened, because he landed so awkwardly and then he kind of did the splits there. But I think he was trying to draw a foul.
He was trying to draw a foul, and then the guy was, you know, trying to defend the shot and kind of flew by him. And then as he kind of tried to kind of draw the foul, his legs ended up in an awkward place. So his left leg ended up way out in front of him. So he had to kind of bend his knee real quick, which my guess is, as he's trying to not fall as hard as he could have fallen. Like, he's putting added stress on his hamstring, and that's where you have the tweak.
George Sedano is with us from ESPN. You mentioned KD and trying to do the right thing by him because you want him to come back. Let me go through a couple guys here real quick. KD, do you think he comes back to Golden State?
I don't want to leave it. You know, I don't want to be so definitive. I think there is a chance that he comes back. Now, I don't think it's an overwhelming chance, but if you're asking me to sign like a percentage, I would say there's like a 20% chance that maybe he sticks around.
What about Klay Thompson?
Oh, he's staying. Like, I mean, as long as my understanding, look, I work with his daddy, man. Okay. So like, I feel like I have this, I don't need to act like I'm reporting anything. I talk to the dad every day. So I feel like it's been pretty clear that if they max him out, he's staying. So I don't think there's really a lot of mystery to him.
Where do you think Kyrie ends up?
You know, I'm hearing a lot of smoke about Brooklyn. Like, that has become a thing over the last 2 weeks. Kyrie grew up in Jersey, grew up a Nets fan. I think that Brooklyn is a real possibility, and I also would make Brooklyn a dark horse for Anthony Davis, too, because they've got D'Angelo Russell, who's resuscitated his career, young guy. I don't think him and Kyrie, even though there's reports that say that they could be okay playing together, I don't think that would work because neither of them play defense. So I could see D'Angelo Russell and like Caris LeVert and like some of their role players and picks being part of a potential Anthony Davis package. I do think that's a possibility. I don't know if Anthony Davis is going to go there or if that's going to be the best deal that David Griffin's going to get. But I do think that's a remote possibility. But I do think the Kyrie to Brooklyn thing is gaining a lot of steam.
Now, you're in Los Angeles, though. What does that mean for the Lakers? Who could the Lakers get?
The Lakers could be in trouble because Brian Windhorst reported yesterday that Philly is willing to offer the fifth-year full max for Jimmy Butler. That's a guy they thought they might have been able to target. Kyrie is in that conversation, but I don't feel like the Lakers are the front runners there. I think Brooklyn, maybe even the Knicks, are ahead of them. They could be in trouble. I could see them being in a situation where they don't get any of the marquee guys and have to settle for B-level free agents and then hope to get an Anthony Davis deal done and kind of build their team that way with LeBron. Which, look, it seems fairly obvious now that Shams Charania of The Athletic reported today that these two teams that the two camps are entertaining offers, that this thing is going to happen probably before the draft or by draft night where, you know, whatever team that's dealing for Anthony Davis will in essence be picking for New Orleans.
And who's making those decisions in L.A.?
Who's making the decisions as far as the roster?
Yeah, the roster. Like, who's going to rebuild this team? Are they bringing somebody in? Is Rob Pelinka going to be
it? Rob Pelinka. They believe
that's
in
it.
Rob Pelinka. And, you know, maybe Heath Ledger will reappear somewhere. I don't know.
George,
you know, maybe they have to Pelinka.
They have to bring somebody else in, though.
I mean,
like,
you
no,
can't
no,
just
no,
give it
to
him. It's embarrassing, though. They have to be embarrassed that all they're being talked about is as a joke on any of the shows.
Well, look, man, for whatever it's worth, Jeannie Buss and Linda Rambis, who are running the show, they trust in Rob Pelinka, and we'll see. And my understanding is right now LeBron and his camp are playing nice, and they're all pulling the rope in the same direction. But, you know, I've spoken to Dave McMiniman, who covers the Lakers, and obviously he's covered LeBron in Cleveland. Bill Plaschke is an L.A. Times columnist, like a legend down here. You know, he's been around forever. They both believe the same thing, that if they strike out in free agency, that there may be a reckoning, let's say. I'm joking. That's clearly an exaggeration. But LeBron won't be happy if they strike out in free agency. And that, you know, that will be an interesting moment, right? An intersection as to what they will do with Rob Pelinka. And maybe they'll pull off the Anthony Davis thing and free agency won't matter as much. But there is a real possibility that they don't get one of the marquee guys in free agency, and that could be bad for sure.
Last one out of me, George, the Drake situation, bringing Drake, giving Drake all the attention, the Kevin, you know, what was it, the Home Alone sweatshirt, whatever you wore.
Yeah.
Is that a good use of media time in the NBA damn finals?
Well, there's so many off days, right, that I think that does help. And look, it's no different than Spike Lee. I mean, they did a damn 30 for 30 on Spike Lee, basically. You know, and him and Reggie Miller going at it. So, yeah, I think that there's always been that, okay? I actually had this conversation with Jeff Van Gundy the other day on the radio show, and he actually brought up a great point. He's like, there used to be, like, these crazy celebrity hecklers in, like, D.C., and obviously he mentioned Spike. He's like, I was coaching the Knicks back then. He's like, Jack Nicholson will say stuff stuff to you. You know, he's not standing up and massaging the coach, but he'd give it to guys too. He'd be talking some smack at the Laker games back in the day. So, like, there's been some of that, you know, in different spots around the league forever. That's really not new. It's just, it's basically what's happening is that Drake is the newest version of that, and he also happens to be young, right? And he happens to be of the culture, right? Like, he's woven into the fabric of the NBA, where you go to any arena, and in pregame, you're hearing Drake songs, right? Like, he is arguably the biggest star in the world in music right now. So it actually, I think, is great for the NBA.
I like the fact that he's a fan or whatever, like Spike Lee, but just put on the Raptors jersey and sit there like Spike Lee does with the Knicks jersey. He's got to go get the sweatshirt. Too much thought put into it. There's too much thought,
no,
George.
I think it's great. It's just 2019 version of Spike Lee. I mean, Spike Lee, that stuff was happening in the 90s, you know? I mean, again, he did the choke sign to Reggie Miller in front of his face. You know what I mean? Like at Madison Square Garden or whatever. I think it was in Madison Square Garden. Like that, you know, that's no different than Drake telling Draymond he's trash. Like, who knows what Spike? Spike was telling Reggie Miller, one of the most clutch players in the history of the sport, that he was a choke artist. And then Reggie just made him eat it by hitting a huge three. Like, come on. That's the stuff that's always happened. We're just making a bigger deal because there's more media today and there's more exposure today.
They are focusing on him a lot. They show him an awful lot.
It's going to be fun and jolly till somebody hits him in his mouth when he talks trash when they walk past.
That is an interesting point, right? So he's cool with those Warrior guys, right? Like Draymond obviously went to dinner with him the next night or whatever. But there's going to be a guy that he's not going to be cool with. Like last year with Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
I've had Kendrick Perkins in studio. And he said, look, I got no beef with Drake. And he goes, you know, after the fact, it clearly was a misunderstanding. But, you know, I wasn't going to let him try to punk me. And that was a guy who would have smacked him for sure.
Yeah, let him say something. Let him say something to Lance Stevenson.
I've heard that story with Perkins, and Perkins said he kept saying, "Wait till after the game." After the game, so Perkins said, "I went and got dressed and walked back out to Drake."
And he waited
when the game's over. What you want to do?
Yes. He waited for him, and then obviously he wasn't around. But, yeah, there are certain guys that you don't trifle with, right? And Kendrick Perkins was one of them, and he learned that very quickly, that it's not – that Kendrick isn't going to do this for show. Like, you want to say to get it on with him, he's going to wait for you.
Who would win in a fight, Lance Stevenson or Drake?
Oh, come on, Lance Stevenson.
This guy's ridiculous.
Get out of here. I thought you were going to say Drake or you or something like that.
Who would win in a fight, Andy Ruiz Jr. or Crowder? Street fight.
Man, that's tough. Because Crowder, I would have picked you, except I saw you try to make that jump that one day in that creek or whatever.
You know what? It's the funny thing is I don't know which way I'd go. Because this dude just knocked out Anthony Joshua.
He can take a punch,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
Like, that dude
can take a punch. Yeah, that's the thing. And you clearly are not at the peak of your athletic ability.
Well, neither is Andy Ruiz,
hey,
I don't think.
Let George talk because he says it nicer than you.
He's young. And youth helps. And that's why. Because Crowder, a year or two ago, may have made that jump on that that pier.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's a different stage of your life. So, you know, if maybe when I was back at QAM, you know, in 2012 or whatever, I would have clearly pick Crowder, but now 2019 Crowder, I don't know so much.
We always say that you could say whatever you want now to Crowder, as long as you maintain a 12-foot radius around him, he can't get near you, because we saw what happened when that landmass was 12 feet away. Just keep 12 feet in between you and he the entire time.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have Tyson Fury on my radio show today, and I want to ask him about Andy Ruiz, because I feel like that guy loves to talk smack.
Isn't,
he's like 6'8".
Isn't it great to have a heavyweight division that got some fun to it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been since the 90s, basically, right? I mean, maybe early. When did Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield fight? That was probably like, what, 98, 99, it feels like?
We had Al Bernstein on today, and he's like, yeah, you wouldn't have called me. If it was just Anthony Joshua winning the way he was supposed to, like, you wouldn't have called me. And then he laid out for us, like, the next three big fights in the heavyweight division and said, yeah, there's going to be some juice with the heavyweights, which makes boxing good.
Yeah. Al Bernstein is like one of the nicest people you ever meet, and he's so good at what he does.
We talk with him about entertainment all the time, because like that's like he's just one of those guys that can talk about anything. Like, he's just good radio.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. No, he is fantastic.
As are you, George Sedano, ESPN and ESPN Los Angeles. No, very good. People still want you in this time slot. And we're always aware that when we bring you on, we may be showcasing our future replacement.
He's good. Yeah.
You're like Jason Kidd and Frank Vogel. Right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. All right. See you, George. Thank you.
See you, guys.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles and ESPN. Let's take a quick break here. Just want to see if I have everything. Oh, yeah. It's Cheese Day, National Cheese Day. We'll celebrate it next. Radio.com. Radio.com. 5 o'clock hour, Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. They just celebrated their 6-year anniversary. Everybody had a good old time. A big event tomorrow. Not there, somewhere else.
Heard this song the most growing up.
This song?
Randy, my dad's a Q.
Really?
Omega Sci-Fi, and they're the Q Dogs. And this is like their whole frat song, so.
I doubt that a lot of people have even heard this song ever. Have you heard this, Solana?
Yeah, I knew it was Randy's frat song.
Oh, my God. How did you like my computer screensaver today?
Was that Randy?
Craziest thing in the world.
That was his dad, yeah. So, you know, I've got my screensaver on my laptop just set to random pictures, whatever's in the files or whatever, and it just rotates. And so there's thousands of pictures in there. And I text Solana and Crowder today. It's just me and his dad, Randy Crowder. Forget where the event was.
Frankie's, maybe?
Maybe.
He's only been to Frankie's or Stash.
Oh, it was Frankie's or Stash. I was just about to say,
had to
be
those two, yeah.
Yeah. It's such a random picture that popped up, man.
It's funny because he's a Q and my granddad's a Q. So I was going to be like, you know, the lineage of the frat, the Q, Omega Sci-Fi.
And they branded?
Yeah, and they brands and all. And I got to Florida, I was going to be a Q. But at Florida, they had restrictions on, like, you have to be, after your sophomore year, have so many credits. And I had to do the Magic Johnson. I ain't going to be there. I knew I was going to the league.
You had to Homer Simpson into the bushes?
Yeah, because I went and I was, you know, because it's all secret. So yeah. I went to the top Q dog, and he was a senior, and I was like, hey, you know, I was thinking about pledging. And I went talking to him. He's like, yeah, man, got to wait till you have, you know, 50 credits, and we're in. You know, everybody knows you're a good guy.
I'm sorry. What did I hear you say, 50 credits?
How many credits? I ain't going to be here.
I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
I'm not going to be here.
I looked at him and told him, I'm not going to be here.
Well, anyway, the big event tomorrow is our Sports Steaks and Spirits Bash. We thank everyone that entered. We had told you for a few weeks the only way to get in was to win your way in, and we picked 20 winners, and they all get to bring a guest. And now I've been told, though, if you didn't win your way in and you still want to hang out with us tomorrow, there is another way. There's 50 tickets available, although that was starting this morning. I don't even know how many are left. So if you do want to go, though, tomorrow, it's $50 to get in. If you didn't win your way in, it's $50, and there's only 50 tickets available. But it's going to be a JWB Prime Steaks and Seafood, and they've got a special menu ready to go. And we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. I was told there was going to be like a panel where we answer questions, Joe Rose and you and the whole mishpucha.
Don't throw us out there, you and Joe Rose.
People have questions too. People have questions for the former Dolphins.
No.
I'm gonna sit there and I'm gonna pass notes with Dono. And that's my plan for tomorrow. And then, but anyway, if you do want to go, you go to WQAM.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll see a little banner for Sports Steaks and Spirits. And if you want to buy your way in tomorrow, you can do so right now. It is WQAM.com. Today is National Cheese Day, as I told you during the last segment. And during Cheers 2, earlier in the program, I unveiled my Mount Rushmore of cheese, Swiss, cheddar, Parmesan, and really the Parmigiano Reggiano and cottage.
You fancy, huh?
Cottage.
That's not a cheese.
Well, sure it is. Cottage
it just has
cheese.
It in the name. That's dead.
Solana, do you eat cottage cheese?
Absolutely not.
Really?
My man.
Have you just, never or?
I can't even, you know, stand the smell of it. I don't like the look of it.
Cottage cheese doesn't really have a smell. It's pretty bland. pretty bland cheese.
It has a smell.
A little vomit scent.
No, it doesn't. No. Yeah. Parmesan may have a little vomit scent. Cottage cheese, very mild.
Cottage cheese is rotten.
I just found out from Solana's girlfriend, he does not eat sushi. You know, I posted something on Instagram yesterday, my wife and I eating sushi. You don't eat sushi? You've tried it?
I've tried sushi, every type of sushi. Everybody says, try the shrimp tempura the first time you ever have sushi.
Well, shrimp tempura is just that. I mean, that's cooked shrimp, so, I mean, you can't not like that.
I don't like it.
Do you know
like
that
shrimp?
Do you know shrimp tempura is cooked?
Right, but sushi can be fried.
It came out the box. There is cooked sushi, but that's not really sushi. That would be something for someone who doesn't like sushi.
Right, and that's what I tried. Didn't like it. And I've tried raw, like real sushi, the raw
but
fish.
But go back to Crowder's question there. You don't like fried shrimp?
No, not really.
You don't like seafood?
I like fried calamari. That's about it.
All right, well, have that wrapped in a thing of rice, and that's the fried tempura sushi. I was talking more about like a tuna roll.
Nah, I've tried it. I have tried it. I just don't. I don't like
simple
fish.
Palate.
No, I pretty much like everything else other than seafood.
Somebody wants to know, how do you leave mozzarella off the Mount Rushmore of cheese? I was thinking more along the lines of cheeses that you just eat plain
or mozzarella.
Because
I made a list of, because you did the cheeses, you went just cheese types.
Right.
I went the Mount Rushmore of things that are made with cheese that are damn delicious.
Okay.
Mine are four. Grilled cheese has to jump in there. It's bread and cheese.
Grilled cheese, excellent.
Three, nachos.
Nachos and cheese, for sure.
Two, good old-fashioned cheese stick or cheese curd.
You love cheese sticks, although Crowder has a very strange way of eating them. He takes the breading off. That I'm not lying. He takes the breading off. There's a big pile of breading on the plate, and he just eats the cheese out of it.
And at Brew's Room, they have mozzarella, the big moon-shaped mozzarella's fried. Oh, it's delicious.
You saying mozzarella?
Mozzarella. I put an N in there. It's an N in my mozzarella.
Mozzarella?
Mozzarella?
Mozzarella.
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 Right, mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
Yeah, mozzarella.
And then one. No argument here. You can't argue with this. Mac and cheese.
Well, what about cheese pizza?
Because that's just not cheese.
Cheese steak. Philly cheese steak.
Now, that's a good one. I had some other like cheese fries, quesadillas.
Oh, cheese fries. That's my favorite.
But what made me think about my list was when you said mozzarella just not eating by itself.
Still sticking with mozzarella, huh?
What about those damn
It's like My Fair Lady. I'm saying the word, you're saying it back, but then you go right back into your old ways.
What about the tomato and mozzarella salad?
Oh, I love that.
With the little oil on top?
The caprese.
That's caprese salad?
The caprese.
The caprese.
That was number five on my list.
Pretty sure it's caprese.
Been to Italy. It's caprese.
Hey, you've been to Italy?
Been to Italy.
I've been to Italy. The restaurant. I've been there in Chicago and New York.
It's one down here.
So, there's an Italy here?
Think
no, there's
so.
Not. No.
Why not Brickell somewhere?
No. You're thinking of like a food hall or something. It's not Italy.
No, it's not Italy.
Mm-mm. No, we'd know that. It's my wife's favorite place. We'd live there. We would have moved there.
Is that Brickell City Center, that big-ass mall that goes over? Downstairs in one of them buildings, I think it's Italy.
No, I don't
Look
think
up
so.
Italy, South Florida.
In fact, I was just at the one in Vegas, too. It's, there's one in Vegas.
That's La Centrale, and that's the Italian food hall.
Yeah,
so
it's
you
a
were
food
right.
Hall.
It was a
yeah,
food.
Yeah.
Hall. I'm sorry.
So we're going to Japan at the end of the month, and there's an Italy there by our hotel. Should we go? I'm so confused on this because we're going to Japan. So what would be the point of having Italian food? You know what I mean? But she loves Italy.
We left fishing Saturday in Costa Rica, and Big Vern wanted to go to KFC.
Did he really?
And I was like, we're in Costa Rica, bro.
Right. I always wonder, because there's always fast food places. They're everywhere now. So I always wonder, like, now, when I'm in Japan, though, I do want to visit McDonald's, and I want to visit KFC. I just want to see what the menu is, but I don't want to have a real meal there.
I was just, I'm talking about the ocean is right next to this. Like, right. The best fishing in the world.
And how often do you get to,
They made us tuna steaks. This tuna was still shaking. When it was cooked, it was still vibrating because the meat was so fresh.
So did you guys go to KFC?
Hell yeah, three 8-pieces. I thought we were getting a little snack. Vern got 30 pieces of chicken. I was like, damn, Vern,
So that's what you – that had to drive you crazy. Because I've been – I've traveled with Crowder before.
I don't like that.
Dude does not want to eat fast food. Like, he wants to challenge his palate.
I made it known.
You don't think it's cool, though? Like, I when you're in another country to check out, like, the restaurants you're used to?
No, I do. No, I do think that's
just
cool.
It's the same food.
When I'm in Uruguay, I went to McDonald's just to kind of see the differences of the menus. And it's like a higher class option
no,
that they give you.
I'm totally into that. Like, we're spending 2 weeks in Japan. I'm going to hit food courts. Like, I'm not lying to you.
You're going to spend hundreds of dollars a night on a room. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend thousands of dollars on flights.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to eat at a place that you can eat down the street from your house?
Yes.
That's silly.
I want to experience. I like that.
You experience what? A hamburger from McDonald's?
It's different. I wouldn't get a hamburger there. I'm going to get whatever they have. I don't know.
They're going to have McDonald's
sea
menu.
Sea urchin.
Have you not seen this promotion that McDonald's is doing this Thursday? So basically, if you take any foreign currency, it could be something that is basically worthless here in the United States, any foreign currency to participating McDonald's locations, they'll give you a free worldwide menu option that they're implementing around different locations. On the show sheet, there's like four or five different food options that they'll have. One from the Netherlands, it's called the Stroop Waffle McFlurry.
This is for real? McDonald's?
This is for real.
But McDonald's going to be able to pull this off? Because I've been to McDonald's before. Yes.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger from Spain.
The who? The Bacon Burger.
Tomato mozzarella chicken sandwich
you
from Canada.
You said mozzarella? Did you just say mozzarella too?
Yeah, get that in there.
Cheesy bacon fries from Australia.
Oh,
cheese and bacon on a fry. Have y'all ever been?
Oh, I see the story now.
But just listen to what you're
saying. Thanks for reading my show.
Listen to what y'all are saying.
Stroop waffle.
You believe that a McDonald's that comes from the U.S. and goes over there, is going to take sea urchin and have a sea urchin burger?
Yeah, no, they have different menu items.
Bro, I've been to them.
No.
We went to KFC. Vernon Carey forced me to go to KFC this weekend. It was chicken, potatoes, biscuits.
No, you're
it was
wrong.
The same crap. I'm right. I went to McDonald's in London.
I DVR a show on Food Network, and it's fast food around the world. You're wrong on this.
I'm right. Let's look. Okay, look up Australian McDonald's menus.
Yeah,
I don't have
kangaroo
a computer.
Burger.
They don't have
kangaroo.
No kangaroo.
Yes, they do.
No, it's not. Y'all are wasting y'all's time. I want a chef that lives in the restaurant he works in.
Yeah, I'm totally going to the fast food places and stuff. Like, it's not going to be my main meal, but I'm totally going.
Australian cheese and bacon fries.
But they don't have that here.
But they have cheese and bacon. You're telling me I can't go down the street and get some cheese and bacon fries from Wendy's?
Wendy's, yes. McDonald's, no.
They can't melt cheese. You don't think they'll melt cheese on my fries?
No, they will not. They will not do that for you.
I'm going to bring some cheese and bacon fries from McDonald's here tomorrow. How much you want to bet? 100?
You're going to bring an order of cheese and bacon fries.
Yep.
From McDonald's.
Yes.
They're not going to make it for you. I'm sorry.
You want to bet some money? Bet some money.
It can't be one of their just square pieces of American cheese laid down on fries.
Cheese?
It needs to look like bacon cheese fries.
Fries with bacon and cheese on top.
That's right.
I can get made at McDonald's.
You're going to pull the dolphin card?
I don't know what card I'm going to pull. I'm just letting y'all know it's not amazing that they make a McFlurry in Indonesia.
Out of Stroop Waffle?
I don't know what Stroop Waffle is.
I just had it on the show sheet, I'll tell you. Stroop Waffle. Oh, they have cheese and bacon fries? Oh, you do a better example. Because they have it.
My man Danny just showed us cheese and bacon fries.
But they have that. So come up with something different.
But y'all just sold me on Australian cheese and bacon fries.
Go get poutine. Go get poutine at McDonald's.
Yeah,
right.
go get poutine. Poutine.
Where do they have poutine at?
In Canada, Montreal. I've had it. Delicious at McDonald's.
So do they have gravy at McDonald's?
In the Netherlands, they have the Stroop Waffle McFlurry, vanilla soft serve mixed with a caramel swirl, featuring authentic chopped Dutch Dalman Stroop Waffle caramel waffle cookie pieces.
So they crumple up a cookie.
Yeah, go get that. I'm 441.
They crumple up a cookie.
Good luck, son.
And put it in a vanilla flurry. I can crumple up a cookie anywhere.
All right.
Give me a shrakruka waha, and I can make it right here for you.
I don't care what you say.
Y'all are wasting y'all's time.
I'm not wasting my time. I don't know if it's a waste of time to go to Italy, though, in Tokyo. That's the part that I'm having the disconnect
Go to a place that you don't understand. The name you can't read. You can't read anything off the menu. And the person that makes the food lives in the back.
Right.
It's going to be
delicious. No, I'm going to do that. I want to experience other stuff as well. But I did want to wish everybody a happy cheese day. That's really where this all came from.
Everybody loves cheese.
Happy Cheese Day to everybody. One segment left.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
More of a Friday song.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
But our Friday song is free to come out at night.
I know.
Yeah.
But this is a Friday song. It's just got paid, you know?
Wow, we got paid last Friday, didn't we?
Yeah.
Man.
5 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Funky Boot Up Brewery.
That direct deposit works, man.
Oh, you finally got signed up for that?
Oh, I was out of the country. Money hit. Boom. I was like, we got action.
We got action, boss. Yeah,
I'm going to get rid of it, though, this next check. I'm going to be here.
You'll be waiting in line.
I like that paper check.
I was just reading the transcripts of Brian Flores, his media availability today. Dolphins had their mandatory training camp. So I'm guessing Greg Likens, who's coming up at 6 o'clock, he's going to play some sound from Brian Flores. There's sound from Rashad Jones and whatnot. But I was just looking over the transcripts because you were talking about, you know, does Rashad have to earn his way into the ones? Let's see.
It sounds silly when people say that.
Well, here was his answer. You've been telling us there's no sacred cow and that everybody has to earn their spot. Have you told Rashad Jones that, and is he okay with that? The first sentence of the answer, I love it. That wasn't part of the conversation. So he didn't even have, like, I'm not telling him this stupid bleep.
Bro, he plays into the media. You kind of tell the media what they want to hear to get him to move to the next question. Do you believe, did anybody out there believe, just please, please, please answer this for inside your soul. Do you think Rashad Jones is going to come back to this team and be the left guard on punt and the R5 on kickoff? Right. He's the highest paid player on the team. That's where he's going to be? It just doesn't make sense.
The conversation, this is Brian Flores. The conversation with Rashad was about coming in, learning the playbook, having good communication, working on your fundamentals and techniques. Really, it's the conversation that I have with every player that I come across. That's not really a talking point when I'm one-on-one with the player. I'm looking forward to working with him. Looks like he's in really good shape. He was excited. He was eager to get into meetings and to practice. I'm looking forward to working with him.
The worst, you know what they'll do? And coaches, I've seen them. I think it was Porter they did this too. Because Porter, you know, Porter was in California. He wasn't. Junior wouldn't. You know, California guys aren't coming back for every OTA. When they do come back from minicamp, they would tell him you're switching reps with a young guy. So Joey comes back. They're like, hey, you and Ike Alamafrancis. That's what guy we actually played with. His name was Ike Alamafrancis.
Ike Alamafrancis.
He was. And so think about that. Joey comes back, all pro player, Hall of Famer. Hey, Joey, you're going to switch some first-team reps with Ike Alamafrancis. The next step is Joey nods his head. He goes in the locker room to get ready for practice. He tells Ike Alamafrancis, bro, don't come in there and get me in with the ones. And what do you think Ike Alamafrancis does?
Knock at him in the ones.
Sats his ass on that sideline and goes out with the twos. That's the worst they're going to do. They're not putting this man on punt team.
This is my favorite part from the Brian Flores interview today, though. He was asked how he enjoyed his first fishing experience. Crowder just spent the last 4 days in Costa Rica fishing. We know that Crowder will fish 24 hours a day if he could.
We got 18 hours in 2 days.
I mean, that is your thing.
Yeah.
So Coach Flores went fishing for this Finns weekend this past weekend. It's a big Dolphins event, season ticket holders and alumni and current players.
I've done it 10 times.
So it's his first fishing experience, and you told us at the beginning of the show you knew it just by looking at it.
Yeah, he was short stroking the fish. He had a long stroke, man. His grace. I've seen a 90-year-old woman reeling an 80-pound amberjack because she knew what she was doing.
He says, it was fun. I had a great time. It's all about education. I said this the other day. I was humbled, blah, 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 blah. I chose fishing, and I wasn't very good there. I reeled one in. I had a little help. Let's be honest. I had a lot of help, actually. It was fun, but I think the weekend is all about giving back, blah, blah, blah. So he was asked a follow-up. Will you fish again? He answered, will I fish again? Quite honestly, it's not a no, but it's a no. I'd rather watch film. I'd rather watch film. I'd rather draw up a couple of plays offensively, defensively, or in the kicking game. So there you go. He is not going to embrace the fisherman's lifestyle.
I like how he worded that first sentence, because he is going fishing again next year in the Dolphins weekend. Because somebody's going to ask about it. It's going to be a big-time sponsor with a big yacht, and he's going out there.
Quite honestly, it's not a no, but it's a no.
I'm not going to look into a fishing trip, but when I get asked politely by my employer, I'm going to go fishing. That's what I got out of it.
Adam Gase was asked that at the Jets press conference. He said he'd rather play Sudoku.
On the iPad. Sudoku.
He's going to that Super Bowl ring ceremony, right? Coach Flores, I think that's this week. I think they're having a ring ceremony.
But he shouldn't go.
He says, yes, yeah, I am. I think I've built a lot of really good relationships up there in New England. My wife is definitely happy to go up there. We actually had our 10-year anniversary last week. I want to give a shout-out to her. Yeah. He says he'll be working. He's heading up to Boston. Celebrate. He'll be back Friday. But, yeah, it'll be good to see some old friends. So, yeah. No, I definitely think he should go for that. Hell, you weren't a Super Bowl ring?
Just saying, though. But it's prior team.
Well, our rival. I don't want to see him.
Know what I'm saying?
All buddy-buddy with Bill Belichick.
Are they going to talk football? I don't think they need to talk football.
Somebody texts in, oh, keep Solana on the show. He's awesome. Great chemistry with you and Crowder. Look at you, Solana, getting a little love on day number one.
Tried.
I was Instagramming out a little video of Solana so people could see him. Yeah. My Instagram failed.
It's because you don't listen to me.
Well, you want me to Snapchat it and then save the video. And
just Snapchat it, save
too much.
It, upload.
It's too much. Speaking of being Jewish, somebody texted in.
What happened?
It's too much. Somebody texted in, my Mount Rushmore of cheeses. How can I call myself a Jew if I don't have cream cheese on there? Hmm. It's a valid point. I think
you think of cream cheese is cheese?
But I don't think it's really like cheese,
no.
But it's called cheese. Like,
why wouldn't it be cheese? Like, it has to be made with cheese, right?
Right. I feel like it's more like a cheese product.
Yeah, it's a spread.
A spread.
Yeah.
But I think technically I would put it there because it's cream cheese.
Over cottage.
Even in sushi, cream cheese. That's a perfect little delight.
I would put teeth cheese over cottage.
I don't even want to think about you with teeth cheese.
You know, the butter that gets around your gums.
I know what it is.
Yeah, man, cottage.
Cottage cheese is so delicious. Mm. I have some tonight when I get home.
Small curd.
Small curd, 4% milk fat.
I do that for you.
Yeah, appreciate that. When you guys went for your little weekend in Costa Rica, it was Ronnie Brown was there and Vernon Carey, TJ.
Yeah.
You should have said, hey, let's go shopping. Let's get some provisions. Should we get a big or small cottage cheese? Just to see what the fellas would have said.
We went to Walmart. We landed in San Jose and we had to ride out to the little fishing, you know, area. And we went to the big Walmart right by the airport. You talking about seven men not knowing what's going on in a grocery store? Because, like, Ronnie has two kids. I have two kids. Vern has four kids. Like, we know how to shop for a family. But we're walking around like, what do we buy now? We don't need no damn milk. We don't need no orange juice. Like, what do we buy for seven dudes? All of us had, like, three things in the cart. Bunch of liquor and beer.
Yeah, you got to get some cottage cheese. Did you get some bagels and cream cheese?
No.
Yeah, that was a good one.
They made three meals a day for us, so it was just to hold you over.
Yeah,
stuff.
But a bagel. Everybody likes a toasted bagel with some cream cheese.
Mm. I don't think I saw a bagel in Costa Rica.
Some capers.
Caper.
Mm. Anyway.
Some little green balls. Who wants a damn caper?
Oh, you got to put some capers over the lox.
Yeah, the lox.
You eat lox, Solana?
Nah.
He really has a simple palate, I believe. I didn't want to get into it today.
I mean, I don't have a simple palate.
You do have a simple palate.
Because I don't like fish?
Yes.
Well, you're Uruguayan. Is there an Uruguayan dish?
Yeah.
What?
Milanesa, asado.
What is that? That's just meat?
Chivito.
Meat?
It's meat.
Somebody texts in, as weird as it may sound, cottage cheese is delicious with bacon bits. That sounds terrible. And bacon generally makes anything better, but that sounds terrible.
Why would you eat cottage cheese? Why would you mess up bacon with cottage cheese?
I would get a Stroopwafel McFlurry.
Hey, Texer, next time, just eat the bacon.
Greg Likens is coming your way next at 6 o'clock. He's going to have some sound from Coach Brian Flores and more. So Likens will have you covered. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow we're going to be at the big
Sports, Steaks, and Spirits
event. And if you want to get in with us as well, we've already picked the winners. But if you want to buy your way in, you can go to WQAM.com, and we'll do our show there live tomorrow. So hopefully we will see you there mañana.
Fried koala.
Poo-poo and Endoro. Pee-pee and Endoro.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.